Could it be a financial do-over?
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
Good morning from American Public Media in Los Angeles. I'm Steve Chiatakis. Remember the bank stress tests? In a report released this morning, the government watchdog of the Troubled Asset Relief Program says a tougher retake may be in order. The Congressional Oversight Panel says while the Fed used a conservative and reasonable approach, their words, to testing the health of banks, it didn't go far enough. The panel's head, Elizabeth Warren, made that point earlier this morning on CNBC.
Let's keep in mind that the worst-case scenario for this year is 8.9% unemployment. We're already at 9.5%. That's averaged, of course, across the whole year in the model. But it suggests that, you know, we ought to be thinking about rerunning this model with some tougher numbers in it.
In just a few minutes, Warren will testify on the panel's view of the stress tests before the Joint Economic Committee on Capitol Hill. Julie Neiman is an analyst at Smith Moore & Company. She joins us live this morning from St. Louis. Hi, Julie.
Morning, Steve.
So do the results of this watchdog report come as a surprise?
Not really. You have to take off the rose-colored glasses and put on the magnifying glasses, and that's what they need to do. The banks are refusing to recognize massive amounts of bad debt that's still on the books, and more is coming with these ARM resets. Consumer loans are going bad. Home equity loans going bad. Now, they've successfully issued a lot of new stock. Well, that's swell. Now they can spread the new bad debt over even more of shareholder losses. They may very well be back at taxpayer pig trough for even more slop at this point.
So this report about the test comes as the Treasury just announced just a few minutes ago it's approved 10 of the nation's largest banks to repay $68 billion in bailout money. Is that really going to be the end of the TARP story for these banks?
Not at all. These 10 banks basically are just simply able to repay right now. They're going to be free of those pay restrictions. They want to be able to hire and richly compensate all the same kind of folks who got them into this mess. And they're making acquisitions of their more distressed yet attractively priced brethren, especially the banks, since so many of them were not banks before this, but they simply turned around and put their Banks Are Us signs to qualify for the TARP. They'll be back.
All right, Julie. Julie Neiman joining us from St. Louis this morning. Thanks. And get that phone, too. As a matter of fact, the numbers not so rosy this morning were pretty much flat on Wall Street. The Dow is up about a quarter of a percent, about three-tenths of a percent, 25 points. The NASDAQ and S&P up slightly as well. European shares pretty much flat right now, and Asian shares were mixed. A couple of Spanish-language media titans meet today in federal court. Televisa and Univision are battling over who gets to distribute Televisa's popular telenovelas online. From the Americas desk at WLRN in Miami, here's Marketplace's Dan Gretsch.
Go to the YouTube video sharing site and type in the name of Televisa's blockbuster telenovela, Cuidado con el Ángel. You'll find hundreds of video clips from the show, many with the theme song, Solo Tú. But the clips are all pirated. Televisa produces the show, but Univision has exclusive rights to broadcast it on U.S. television. Televisa currently streams the show on its website in Mexico, but U.S. users trying to access the videos are blocked. Now a judge will decide which company gets to distribute the telenovelas online and to cell phones. Cynthia Corzo is with Hispanic Market Weekly.
For Televisa, if Univision has the right to the online content, they lose any ad revenue.
Corzo says tens of millions in digital ad revenue could be at stake in the dispute. U.S. District Judge Philip Gutierrez will decide the issue. He'll say whether a 1992 distribution deal meant for television should also apply to the Internet. He's expected to rule later this summer. I'm Dan Gretsch for Marketplace.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by ConAgra Foods, the people behind brands like Marie Callender's, Hunt's, and Ready Whip. More at conagrafoods.com. And by CSX, whose trains move a ton of freight 436 miles on 1 gallon of fuel to help reduce fuel consumption. CSX, how tomorrow moves.
The Supreme Court has halted the sale of Chrysler to Fiat as it looks at challenges to the sale. Fiat today said it will not walk away from the deal. It has until Monday to do so. Congress this week mulls over providing incentives for purchasing more fuel-efficient cars, and we're seeing a new generation of eco-friendly vehicles being marketed. Toyota's got a new plug-in Prius that's coming out later in the year, and other car makers have their own versions too. But what kind of appeal will these cars really have? Here's Jennifer Collins from the Marketplace Sustainability Desk.
Edward Kerr wants to introduce you to something greener than your average hybrid.
This is the Ford plug-in hybrid Escape.
Kerr works for Southern California Edison, testing electric vehicles. Conventional hybrids run on both electricity and gas. This plug-in can go further on its electric motor.
Here we are, nice and smooth. Now we're up to about 30 miles an hour. Still electric.
In a conventional hybrid, the gas eventually has to kick in to recharge the battery. But in a plug-in hybrid, you recharge the battery by connecting the car to the grid.
What plug-in hybrid technology is doing is it's really going to start to unlock the true potential of hybridization. The gas hybrid gets it to a certain point. The plug will take it to the next level.
So the car will be able to run at higher speeds for longer periods on pure electricity. James Frankfurt tracks plug-in hybrids at the Department of Energy.
We've demonstrated the potential to get 100, 200, 300, up to 400 miles per gallon, depending on how the vehicles are driven.
Trouble is, in early tests, Frankfurt found plug-in hybrids weren't necessarily getting much better gas mileage than conventional hybrids. Paul Scott of Plug-in America says it's all about teaching consumers how to drive the cars.
You have to obviously charge the batteries.
Some test drivers weren't. And that meant the cars relied more on gas. And gunning the engine does the same thing. So if the cars are sold without any thought to consumer training...
Well, in that case, then people might not buy them.
But if consumers are properly educated, Ed Kerr says drivers could change their priorities.
Our parents, you know, it was all about miles per minute. Now it's all about miles per gallon. So it's all about how do you squeeze more and more and more efficiency out of the system.
That may depend on how efficient the auto industry is at teaching consumers a new way of driving. I'm Jennifer Collins for Marketplace.
Hope you can join us at our website, marketplace.org, and share your thoughts with us there in Los Angeles. I'm Steve Chiatakis. Thanks for being with us. Have a great day.
American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.